Chapter 6. The Banana Tree.
"This is your castle?" said Jack.
Basho smiled.
"In my heart, my humble cottage is grander than all the castles of the samurai," he explained. "And my banana tree is more beautiful to me than all the beauty of the imperial garden." Jack and Annie stared at the large plant with the long, droopy leaves.
"I like this tree so much, I have taken my name from it," said Basho. "Basho means banana tree."
"Cool," said Annie. She looked around. "It's nice here."
"Not really," thought Jack. The cottage was shabby and the droopy banana tree looked scrawny and sad to him.
"Please, come inside," said Basho.
He slipped off his sandals and left them outside. He picked up a bundle of wood, then ducked through the low door that led into his hut. Jack and Annie took off their shoes, too, and followed Basho into a small, shadowy room. Basho opened his shutters to let in the evening air.
"Please, sit," he said.
"Thank you," said Jack and Annie. Jack looked around the room for chairs, but there weren't any. The only furniture was a low wooden table and a bamboo chest. Three straw mats covered the earthen floor. Jack and Annie sat down on one of the mats. Basho lit a small oil lamp. Then he made a fire in his fireplace.
"I will prepare tea for us," he said.
"Rest while I draw water from the river." He picked up one of the two wooden buckets near the door and headed outside. When Basho was gone, Jack and Annie looked at each other.
"I guess this is a three-mat house," said Annie.
Jack nodded.
"You'd think a famous teacher of the samurai would have a 100-mat house, or at least a 50-mat house," he said.
"I like this house, though," said Annie. "It's cozy."
"I wonder who Basho is exactly," said Jack.
"If he's famous, maybe he's in our book," said Annie. "Look him up."
"Good idea," said Jack.
He pulled the research book out of his bag. By the light of the crackling fire, he looked up Basho in the index.
"He is here."
Jack turned to the right page and read aloud.
"Basho is one of Japan's greatest poets. He wrote short, beautiful poems that speak to people as clearly today as they did during the Edo period of Japan."
"Basho's a great poet," said Annie. "That explains everything."
"Sort of," said Jack. "It explains why we had to recite poems to the samurai, but it doesn't explain why Basho lives in such a dinky house."
Basho opened the door and came in with his bucket. Jack closed the book and slipped it back into his bag. Basho poured river water into an iron pot over the fire. He pulled three tiny bowls and a small cloth bag from the bamboo chest. He took loose green tea from the bag and dropped it into the bowls. Then he waited patiently for the water to boil. Jack and Annie waited patiently, too. Listening to the soft, rushing sounds of the river outside, Jack started to feel peaceful for the first time all day. When the water was hot, Basho poured some into each of the tea bowls. Then he handed the warm bowls to Annie and Jack.
"Thank you," said Annie.
"Thank you," said Jack.
"You are welcome," said Basho. Jack carefully took a sip from the steaming bowl. The green tea tasted bitter, but he didn't mind it.
Interesting taste," said Annie. "Basho, Jack was wondering, if you're a famous poet, why do you live in such a dinky house?"
"Annie," said Jack, embarrassed. "She's kidding. I wasn't really wondering that."